the Donate Here button on the homepage.
You're listening to WCNO's Spring Prayer and Share. For prayer requests, call 888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. You could also make a prayer request on the website WCNO.com.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast. I trust also you will be blessed by the message.
Traveling, I forget what island it was or whether it was Central America. We were traveling somewhere. But I had to have a shot. Anyway, it was a typhoid fever shot. I know for some nations, you know, you have to get certain shots, inoculations to go in there. Otherwise, you can't go in there. And this typhoid fever shot is interesting because when you get, you know, vaccinated, they just put typhoid in you. They don't put enough in you to make you sick, but you feel the symptoms. I remember after getting that shot, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes later, I got freezing cold. We were in 95, 100 degree weather, freezing cold. Shivers, sweating, you know, the whole bit. I mean, it was typhoid, but it wasn't enough to make me sick. What happens is they put that in your body so that your blood cells, your white blood cells and different blood cells can start to attack it to build up an immunity. See, you got to understand why you go through some stuff. It don't take you out, but what it does is build up an immunity. Now you can go through that stuff again like it ain't nothing. Amen. That's why James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is working something. It's working patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be mature. You may be perfect, lacking nothing. Stop getting down every time something come your way. God don't love me. I knew this was gonna happen. God trying to build up some immunity. Amen. So that you can take something. Amen. You can encourage somebody else. Amen. They coming through that same thing. You say, wait a minute, bro, let me tell you. I went through that same thing. Everything is going to work together for your good. Your brother sold you into slavery. That's all right. They sold you into your destiny. They kicked you under the bus. That's all right. God going to raise you up anyhow. What the devil means for evil, God means it for good. If you really knew, tell somebody you can't lose with the stuff I use. I'm quoting Reverend Ike, but now I ain't, you know, y'all know what I mean, right? God wants you immunized. There's a place of immunity in the spirit. Amen. The purer your heart, the more immuned you are to evil. Why some saints have the enemy coming in and out of their life so much is because there's something in you. Remember those sycamines? There's a sycamine tree that you need to take out at the root and shut the portal. Amen. Still saved, but you got stuff that the devil owns. When he sowed the seed of doubt to Eve, he left. He came back when the seed was ready. He came back for what was his. God hath not surely said. He knew she was. But like Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me. Come on, when you die to you and Jesus steps up, see, the devil ain't scared of you per se, but when Jesus stands up in you, the devil ain't got no dealings with that. What have I got to do with you, thou son of David, thou son of God? So there's a place of immunity. And I want to talk about the I believe I titled this the covenant of blood. In today's world, godly covenants are almost non-existent. And sad but true, even in the church world. You know, someone doesn't like something, don't like the carpet, the drapes, the praise and the worship, the pastor's wife. I'm out of here. So someone cut the eyes at you. Well, you know, I'm reminded of the guy that threw me a bird. You know, the birds. You know, one of them fingers in traffic. And it made me mad. And I went to pull out, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do when I pulled up next to him. But the Lord checked me and said, wait a minute. Let him keep that in his car. Don't let it get in your car. I chilled out there. Today's world, there's very little covenant or godly covenant, if any. From ancient times, a covenant was the highest form of mutual commitment and unity that any two individuals could express. Covenant. The word covenant, this is a basic meaning. It means to fetter together. A covenant bound you for life to your covenant partner. It signified that two people had become one. Now they got all kind of weird and, you know, ungodly covenants today. But it wasn't so in the beginning. There was what you called the covenant of the sword. In other words, two people, and I meant to bring my sword out here, but that's all right. Two people would stand and they would place a sword and the sword would go between them. Okay? And that covenant meant that my weapons are your weapons. Your weapons are my weapons. I'm going to defend you and you defend me. Then there was what you call, now keep these in mind because I'm going to come back to them at the end. There was the passing of what they call passing of the sandal. You know, a sandal. And that when a person passed or gave a sandal to another person, it had to do with travel. In other words, they were saying to you, no matter how far I have to come to be at your side or to be with you or to defend you, I'll come. In other words, there's no distance that will keep me from keeping this covenant. Amen. Then there was the sacrifice of an animal to God. Now, the animal had to be split in half. And if you call Abraham had this type of sacrifice, it was split in half, and then each person, now notice, that you split the animal in half, one part of the animal there and the other half there, and each person would walk between the halves. And they would be covenant. Now notice something though, when God cut covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham to sleep. In other words, Abe, you don't just sleep. And the furnace or God himself walked between the halves. In other words, God established that covenant himself. When the two people would walk between the halves, from that time on, the two covenant partners would consider themselves the half of the new person born from their oath. Now we get our saying, you know, when somebody see you, they ask, where's your better half? You know, that's where we derive that from. You walk through the two halves and you become a different person. In other words, the two become one. You were an individual. You were an individual. But when you walk through those halves, now you become something, someone new. Amen. The twain become one, a new person. Amen. Keep that in mind because we're going to visit that again. Covenant includes also our descendants. That's why we don't make covenants in haste or make light of covenant. You don't marry somebody because they look good. My wife did an article. What did you title? Be Real? This lady, huh? Just Be Real. It's in this monthly magazine. And she talked about how, I'm just paraphrasing, how somebody got married, and when they got home, the woman took her wig off, took her eyelashes off, took her teeth out, took her leg off. he said, "Are you real?" Come on, see, covenant is not to be made hastily. I'm reminded of a joke when a guy did the same thing and he turned over in the middle of the night and saw her. She was a singer. And he married her because she could sing. And so when she took all that off and he looked over at her, she woke up, he said, "Sing, baby, sing." He married her for her singing. So you don't want to make covenant in haste. First thing Adam was given was not Eve. It was God's presence. Then he got a job. Come on, presence, job, Eve. Come on, it don't go Eve. Oh, I'm looking for a job. Well, when you find it, come on back and see me. That's why we're not unequally yoked together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. How can light be in agreement with darkness? It doesn't. So we don't hastily pursue covenant. Covenant was the deepest, most enduring commitment between two souls. Now, in the old covenant, we call it testament, but it's a covenant, there were seven, or throughout the whole Bible, there were seven major covenants. The first, there was Noah, the covenant God made with Noah. And a result of that, we see the rainbow. There was the covenant with Abraham, covenant with Isaac, covenant with Jacob, covenant with Moses, covenant with David. And time would not, you know, allow me to go through all of these covenants, but you can do some research and study on it. And then the seventh covenant was between God the Father and his Son. God and God. Go with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. In our one screen, we had to order some parts for it, so it's taking a little while to get it here, but if you can't look at this screen. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, this is the covenant God made with Noah. Now, he says to Noah, "But with thee will I establish my covenant."
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.